Hello, everybody.
Hi. Happy Tuesday, everyone.
Welcome to the Women of Vision show here at KCNR 96.5. Women of Vision is a group of women supporting women. We embrace our uniqueness to inspire others. We feature women and interview women who are making positive changes in their lives and in their community. Women who are not only, women who not only have dreams, but work hard to work and make that happen. Speaking of, I have Sarah Marie Chapin here.
Hello.
Hello, Sarah.
Hello, Alicia.
And Miss...
Who am I?
Alicia. I wanted you to say your name.
It's trick question.
Over there taking selfies. I'd like to learn selfie, you know, tutorial from Alicia. She always takes a good one.
Well...
I think the key is she has great long arms. I have short little arms, and I'm like, hello.
Yeah, it's all about the angles. It really is. It's all about the angles.
Angles.
Yeah.
And lighting, I heard.
Lighting is a big. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I miss you girls. How are you doing?
Good. I know we missed you last week.
We had way too much fun with that.
I know.
I was listening.
We missed you last week. I know it was weird. It was like, okay, what's going on? Where's our fearless leader? But I'm so glad you're back with us this week.
Me too.
Yeah.
Thank you. It's been kind of crazy, I would have to say, just... my life personally, but in a good way.
Yeah.
But I feel like so has the world.
Oh, God.
So how's everybody's mental health so far?
So far, so good.
Yeah.
I think sometimes you get to a point where you're so busy that you can't, like, I think that's where I am.
Let the world get to you.
Yeah, I feel like I'm just too busy to think about, like, anything else. I'm just sort of floating through life right now.
I'm just, you know, want to share some good positive vibes out there because... I feel like there's so many things flying around,
negative information,
negative vibes. And
I know.
I don't know, you know, we made a post last time and I think somebody was like, I'm always kind, but this and this and that. And I was like, oh my gosh.
I'm always kind?
Yeah, the post was about like, just be kind to other people, don't forget.
Yeah.
But it's just sometimes we kind of neglect,
you
know, just staying present and just being there for your family, first of all.
Yeah. And for yourself, too. Mm-hmm. I mean, sometimes we forget to just sort of be, I think, present for our own self.
Yeah, you can't help anyone if you're not taking care of yourself.
Exactly. That's the truth, though, really. I mean, it is. Yeah. And it's been, I mean, I feel like the last couple of weeks in particular, you know, mm-hmm. I know we don't really, like, talk about politics and that kind of thing on the show, but I feel like the last... you know, month, and then particularly the last 2 weeks has been really just crazy.
I hear ya.
It's been a lot.
It's been a lot.
Yeah, it has been a lot.
Yeah.
Which is perfect timing, actually, for our guest to come on today. Her name is Amber Ore. I'm so excited for her to be here. We've scheduled this over... I think about a month ago. And anyway, it's going to be, she's going to be calling in because she's at a job location right now, but, it'll be fun because, the topic will be on mental health and domestic violence. And, anyway, Amber, before I bring you on, I just want to, read your bio real quick. Amber is a Northern California native. After leaving a domestic violence relationship and creating a new life for herself, she is passionate about educating others and sharing her story to help inspire those that may be in similar situations. Amber currently lives in Mount Shasta with her daughter and enjoys hiking the many trails or spending time at the lake. If you follow her, she's like a complete example of like staying focused with your family and just loving your kid, you know, and just staying present right there. So really grateful that you're coming on tonight, Amber. Are you there?
I am. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, it's been a while. I haven't talked to you in so long.
I know. It's been a long – this whole year has just flown by. I don't remember the last time I saw you in person.
I know. Same here. I mean, you know, we went on quarantine and then you couldn't see everybody.
Yeah, I know. Quarantine.
Well, this is everybody's first time hearing about you. So tell us a little bit about yourself and your background.
So I work for a police department. I have a daughter. I lived in Redding, Anderson my whole life until a couple years ago. I decided to start over and moved up here. I like to hike. There's not a whole lot to me. I've had to kind of essentially start over in the sense of kind of rebuild my life. So every day is kind of different for me. I just really am passionate about being kind and helping others and communicating with others about mental health and trying to encourage others to get on that same path of wellness and comfortability in their life.
That's awesome. So, Amber, what brought you to Mount Shasta? Because you said you were living in Redding-Anderson area.
So during the time of my domestic violence situation, my daughter's father moved up to Mount Shasta. So after I closed that chapter, obviously it's a lot easier when they're school age to be closer together than 45 minutes apart. So I was like, why not? It's a fresh start. I love going up there. I love hiking. It's so beautiful up here. So I was like, I'll just do it. What do I got to lose? And then I'll have my daughter more often than not. And I mean, it's worked out in so many wonderful ways. So since I've moved up here, I've had new opportunities presented to me, and I couldn't be more thankful.
That's great to hear, because like I moved to Mount Shasta like years ago. Actually, the first time I came to the North State, I moved to Mount Shasta, and we're there like, I don't know, a year, but we just couldn't stay. Too cold, and I don't know, it was just too much. But then I was coming from LA, so maybe that was...
That's a big jump.
Yeah.
That's a big jump.
Joe and I are not friends still.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
we're working on that.
Well, you made it work.
Sure.
I mean, you're...
Oh, yeah.
It's been... I've known you, I think, a couple of years at least now. And I think there was even a time you're like, I might still make it back to Reading, but I don't know. It just seems like with the opportunities you've been faced with, that you might be there for the long haul.
Yeah, and I'm pretty stubborn, so that helps.
You're like, I'm going to make this happen.
Exactly.
So what's your favorite things to do up there? I mean, I know you mentioned hiking. Like, what's the best trails?
Oh, my gosh. Heart Lake is probably, like, my favorite. It's a super popular trail up here.
Yeah.
The other one I really like to do, and it's kind of hard, and it kind of kicks my butt when I do it, is the trail to Mount Eddy.
Oh.
It's like an 8-mile hike in and out, but the views are just gorgeous. There's all these little lakes, like Deadfall Lake. There's all kinds of other trails. There's Toad Lake out there. There's so many places to explore. So it's like my current favorite, and there's not a lot of traffic.
Yeah.
Mount Shasta is a very popular place to go hiking, so...
Yeah, I've been wanting to go to Mount Eddy for so long, but I don't know, for some reason I can't make it out there.
The views are so amazing.
That's what I keep hearing. Camping is awesome. I like to go out there like once a year for camping. The summertime, of course.
Oh, yeah, minus the bears.
Minus the bears. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, Amber, something I forgot to tell you. Before you came on, we usually, every 15 minutes, we have a commercial break, and 2 minutes before that, we give a shout-out to our sponsor. So if I interrupt you, I apologize.
No, that's fine. Totally fine.
I'll be like, oops. But, yeah, and you let us know, too. I know you are on the job there, on the call, and you let us know if you have to excuse yourself. Sarah and Licia are here with me. I am never out of anyone to talk to.
We like to talk.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Awesome.
We could talk to a telephone pole.
Yeah, and I think we're coming on our next commercial break. I'd like to dive in more and on domestic violence and mental health and share all that stuff and how to not just prevent it, but what you've done to heal yourself and what others can do if they are facing that. My first shout out will be to Linda Lingo, financial coach. Linda moved to Oregon, you know that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Hopefully she's still listening to us. Linda, hope everything's doing well. She inspires and guides women to clarity and confidence in their finances, but she does everything virtually. So if you guys want to reach out to her, go for it, just like everything else nowadays. Sarah Beck with Legal Shield, she offers affordable access to attorneys of the state, as well as identity theft protection and monitoring for personal use and for your business. Jesse Baldwin, certified health coach, free health coaching services. Call Jesse at 530-355-5929 to change with Jesse. Bargain Books and More, located at 836 Butte Street, open Monday through Saturday, 9 to 6 p.m. We'll do book trades as well. And that is We Are Women of Vision. We'll be right back here at KCNR.
Lung Affairs, a nonprofit organization that raises public awareness about lung cancer as well as implementing smoking cessation programs within the community. The Lung Affair was started and is supported by Pace Cancer Center in 2008. Money generated through this program is then allocated for smoking cessation and lung cancer awareness programs in Shasta County, including education programs for elementary, middle, and high schools. We also create public service advertisements about the dangers of smoking and have them placed at numerous area bus stops with wide visibility, as well as on the sides of robber buses. Due to the current COVID-19 pandemic, our event this year will be held as an online raffle posted on the Pace Cancer Center Facebook page. There will be 3 gift baskets available for raffle, and tickets will be available at the Pace Cancer Center. In addition, you can also donate to this fundraising event. Tickets are now available and will be available till 4 p.m. on Wednesday, November 24th, and the raffle will be drawn on Monday, November 30th. Help us help our community. Pace Cancer Center and the Lung Affair.
Hi, this is Matt. I'm your host of Liberty Unabashed, a new show on Sundays, 8 to 9. We're going to have some good music, some deep thought, and I hope you check us out.
A jewel of the North State, a place we love to go and love being members.
The view, the best in the North State, from the restaurants, meeting rooms, and of course on the award-winning 18-hole golf course, Riverview Golf and Country Club. It's the place to belong.
Go in and meet the friendly staff today or go to their website at riverviewgolf.net and find out about their introductory memberships.
Riverview Golf and Country Club, corporate, social, tennis, fitness, and golf. Get it all. Become a member.
It's affordable and fun. Riverview Golf and Country Club.
Hi, this is Judy Maxwell. Life can happen in an instant. Sometimes you plan for it, like retirement or taking care of your family. Sometimes it's a surprise, like a winter storm with home or property damage. Sometimes it may be an unexpected accident or illness or even a premature death. Whatever life throws at you, you'll wish you had gotten the right insurance when you had the chance. That's where Maxwell Insurance can help. For more than a quarter century, we've been serving the North State because it's our home, too. Give us a call at 221-0441 to let us help you review your policies and prepare you for whatever your future holds. Maxwell Insurance, 1378 Hilltop Drive, 221-0441.
The Backbone Brew, located at 2143 Hilltop Drive, has been an integral part of our community for over 40 years. They have supported the veterans, law enforcement, fire and disaster survivors throughout this whole time. The Backbone Brew has expanded their walk-in humidor and brought to the North State new lines of fine cigars, pipes, and tobacco products. Additionally, they are offering a pipe bar to try out new tobacco for taste and aroma. Backbone Brew is your one-stop shop for any tobacco product and accessories to include lighters, humidors, pouches, and more. Backbone Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive.
Hi, everyone. Oh, that was weird. I couldn't hear myself.
Me too.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back to the Women of Vision show. This is Licia. We are talking to Amber Array. She is a domestic violence advocate. Amber, thank you so much for coming on tonight with us.
Thank you for having me. It's been fun so far.
Yeah. Well, good. That's a good thing. So I wanted to talk to you a little bit about your work in mental health and how you became an advocate for domestic violence victims. How did you get involved? What was the, I guess, lead up in your life that brought you to this point that you wanted to bring awareness and become an advocate for domestic violence?
So with those kinds of things, unfortunately, you kind of have to come from an area of experience to kind of understand the emotions and the feelings that other people are going through. My situation lasted almost 2 years.
Oh.
And it was a very dark chapter of my life, and I just finished, I got really involved with having therapy done. When people have domestic violence or any kind of trauma for such a long period of time, they develop something called complex post-traumatic stress disorder, And in, with any kind of depression, your main form to battle it is really focusing on your mental health, because that's kind of an internal demon you have to battle.
Sure.
And that was like my biggest thing, is I have to start doing what I feel is right. I have to start doing what I feel is right for my daughter. And a lot of that comes from self-care, understanding that there is something going on and it's okay to get help and ask for help and talk to other people about what's going on. Because there's this big stigma, especially in the mental health area, that you're looked upon differently.
Mm-hmm.
And you see it in the community a lot. There's, unfortunately, a lot of people who are maybe might be homeless because of their mental health issues, or they're in situations that could be better for themselves because they're just not capable of maybe getting out because they are not emotionally or mentally prepared to get out of those situations. So, and that was my biggest helpful tool, was focusing on that, establishing what my boundaries were. And if I didn't do that, then I probably would still be in that situation, honestly.
Yeah. Yeah.
So,
yeah, I think that's a really difficult thing for a lot of people, is to first acknowledge mm-hmm. that they are in a relationship that is unhealthy, whether it's physical, emotional, or mental abuse. That can be a difficult one to identify. I think a lot of times people will think, oh, well, it's just, you know, he or she just gets angry sometimes, mm-hmm. or, you know, they don't mean it. And so I can see how drawing a line in the sand could be challenging for, you know, for a lot of people. And domestic violence, I'm sure, Amber, you would agree with this, manifests itself in different ways. So, you know,
absolutely.
I think some people might identify domestic violence purely with physical, but it's more than that, don't you think? How would you describe the varieties of ways that domestic violence can show itself?
So you're right. You know, most people think it's a physical thing, but there's emotional abuse, there's mental abuse, there's financial abuse, like not wanting to have, like if you're another partner in the relationship, maybe you don't, that partner doesn't want you to have a job because that allows them to control the finances
mm-hmm.
that are coming in. The emotional part of it is using their children against them or their family. So it's not just physical. It can manifest itself in different ways. Even within religion, that's another way it can
yeah.
manifest itself. And
yeah.
people don't realize that it's a big, like, pyramid of different levels of abuse. And, you know, we shouldn't just focus on the physical, because mm-hmm. the emotional, I think, is probably one of the bigger ones that we deal with.
Sure.
So far.
Oh, yeah. It's that mental war, especially
yeah.
when mm-hmm. that person has so much power over you. I think that's really the most scariest, too, just because they don't have to lay a hand on you for you to be afraid of them.
Yeah. And yeah. I think gaslighting, I mean, I don't know. I think,
100% gaslighting.
Yeah, I think gaslighting is one of the biggest forms of abuse, is tricking your partner into believing that something does or does not exist, and that it's all in their head, mm-hmm. and, you know, it's another form of isolation. And I think it's interesting when you said just now about financial, because I do know of people who are in relationships where there is one person in charge
mm-hmm.
of the finances and the other person is totally in the dark about what's coming in, what's going out. And that really freaks me out, because I'm kind of like, you know, that's not normal,
mm-hmm.
right? But
exactly.
But sometimes it's difficult to get people to understand that that's not normal.
Yeah, and it's an interesting word, is normal, because, like,
I guess what is normal, right?
Yeah, I mean, like, in your life, Amber, like, when did you, at a point where you realized that this is not a normal life? Like,
mm-hmm.
this is, you know, something. Like, I mean, it's not really, like,
on.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead. Sorry.
Like, when I was having to really fight to even have my voice heard or speak up for my daughter, that was when it started becoming, like, this is not normal. It shouldn't be like this. And unfortunately for me, I continued to stay, even though I knew it wasn't normal. And it happens early on. It's a process. First, it's the mental, emotional part where they break you down.
Mm-hmm.
And then it escalates from there. And it can start very early in the relationship. Something as simple as, you're not allowed to hang out with these people, or you're not allowed to go do this thing, or why aren't you answering your phone, those kinds of things. And it's just the small little things you don't really think about that are really a bigger deal.
Yes. Yeah. So just identifying those little tiny things, and over time, they tend to add up into something bigger. And so this whole time, your daughter was with you?
She was until the very end, and it was like a few days before my birthday, I remember, in 2017, I want to say.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, something happened, and it involved my daughter, and it's a very sad chapter of my life, and I don't think I'll be able to forgive myself for that, honestly, because nobody wants their daughter getting hurt.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm also very grateful for that, because if that step didn't happen, then that wouldn't have given me the ability to fight for my daughter or the power and leave that relationship, because that's kind of what spearheaded me being done, was like, now you've put my daughter at risk. Now I'm not able to be the mother I should be to my daughter. So this is, we're done. I can't continue to live like this.
So at that point, did you seek help first, or did you try to do things yourself?
I did. I started seeing a therapist at One Safe Place, and it probably took me about 4 to 6 weeks to actually tell her what was going on in my life. She didn't know that I was going through abuse. Like, obviously I would come in with bruises because of stress would build up and tensions would build up, and the incidences would be more frequent. So at that point, once I decided that this was a person I could trust, I opened myself up more to her, and then that's when the process of rebuilding the strength to leave, like the mental, the coming up with a plan, and, you know, who are your safe people and what can we do to get out of this.
That's perfect. Yeah, we'll just leave it at that for now. In our next segment, we'll talk about One Safe Place and how you were able to get some help from them and all that good stuff. We're just going to do a quick shout-out for our sponsors.
Hello, everyone. Sponsor Unicorn here. Our first sponsor is Michelle Lane of Michelle Lane Coaching. Michelle is a transformational facilitator of Elevate Workshops and Retreats for Women and a results-driven life coach, helping you get to the root of what's holding you back from the life you desire the most. She helps women remember who they are beyond the daily hustle, obligation, and overwhelm, so that they can awaken and deepen their truth, intuition, and self-trust. We have Ash and Jazz from Lit From Within. They're located at 2449 Athens Avenue. They have organic spray tanning, infrared sauna, light therapy, natural teeth whitening, yoga, meditation, dance, fitness Pilates, and a whole bunch of like kids' dances as well. We have Bev Gray with Zervita. She offers the most delicious, nutritious drink called Zeal. Not only is it nutritious, but it also gives you energy, vibrancy, and boosts your immune system. And thank you all so much. We would not be able to do this without you. We greatly appreciate you.
And I know we have a few. Alicia, I know you have something going on, too, for November 20th. Is that
right? I do. Shameless plug here. So, yes. So, I'm working with 6 or 7 other vendors.
Mm-hmm.
We are doing a pop-up shop on Friday, the 20th. And at the end of the show.
Oh, this Friday.
Yeah, this Friday. We have some really cool vendors. We have Hello Luna. She makes these beautiful macrame pieces. Beauty and Brows by Nikki. She's an esthetician, makes everybody look so pretty and yummy for the holidays. And then earrings. We have all kinds of stuff. Oh, I just knocked the microphone.
She is much passion over there.
So excited.
Yeah, we can talk more about that.
We'll talk more about it at the end.
And it's definitely not shameless. I feel like at this time, we really need to support our small businesses.
There are some amazing vendors that I just have recently discovered in the last couple of weeks that I'm like, oh, where have these people been my whole life? So, yes, we'll definitely want to talk about some of these small businesses that can use our support this year.
Yes. All right, you guys, we'll be right back. Women in Vision show here at KCNR 96.5 FM.
We are Women of Vision.
Hi, I'm Haley Clandenny.
And I'm Maurice Brown.
Join us for the Women of Vision show Tuesday nights from 6 to 7.
Women of Vision is a movement, women empowering women, locally and globally. We connect female professionals and entrepreneurs and encourage women to collaborate and achieve their personal and professional goals.
With a spirit of integrity and excellence, we will motivate you to thrive, activating your unique abilities. Join us Tuesday nights from 6 to 7 on KCNR 96.5 FM.
Premier, your friendly old change. Premier in all we do.
The seasons are changing. Keeping your family healthy is important. So is the health of your car. The longevity of your vehicle depends on you to make sure your oil, radiator, coolant, windshield wipers, and other vital systems have all been taken care of so your car can bring your healthy family through the seasons. Drive into Premier Oil Change today and experience the friendly oil change. Premier doesn't require an appointment, and you don't drop your car off or wait. Premier changes your fluids while you stay in the comfort and safety of your own car. Enjoy a free beverage and free Wi-Fi while our trained technicians perform our comprehensive 30-point certified service. Earn free oil changes with Premier Rewards. Learn more at PremierOilChange.com or visit us in Palo Cedro. Premier is in the Holiday Market Shopping Center on Lake Boulevard next to Waterworks Park, or in Anderson across some Round Table Pizza. All locations, you get a free car wash with every oil change. Home of the friendly oil change.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
Aloha, this is Kevin, operations manager at Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. A professionally cleaned business sends a message to your paying customers. It says you are a company that cares about your image and always presenting the very best impression. Time after time, I've talked to clients who shopped for the lowest price and after a few months realized that their professional image was suffering. They didn't know who was actually coming into their offices to do the cleaning, and they just weren't getting the value they were paying for. Be wary of big-name companies that take your money, then hire unknown contractors to do the work. Since 1987, Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, your local professionals, have been offering the best in office cleaning by our screened, bonded, and insured staff. Take pride in your business and say aloha to your customers with the professional cleaning services from Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. Call 221-5868. 221-5868. MauiBob'sOfficeCleaning.com.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Women of Vision show at KCNR 96.5 FM. I'm Sarah, and we are here with Amber Array. Array, I'm sorry. You can totally kick me off the island. It's fine.
Same with Amber. You
it's
need
good
to
hear
that.
Your voice again, because I haven't seen you in a while. We were talking about domestic violence and all of that. I was not in a relationship, but I was the child of a situation. And so I'm like, I understand from the child's point of view what you were talking about. Mm-hmm. And I'm really happy that you did get help and stuff like that, because it made me happy when my mother finally did go get help and things like that. You were the one that asked the last question. Do you want to lead back into that?
Well, I just actually wanted to go, Amber, if you don't mind sharing with us, because I feel like personally, I don't have the experience, or personally, I don't know what One Safe Place actually do. We know it's a haven for women that's undergoing domestic violence, but what is the process there, and what was your journey like there? I know you mentioned that, you know, in the beginning you didn't really know who to trust, but eventually you develop trust. And so I just want to hear from you, like, how that journey was and that led you to a healing.
So part of my process of trying to make sure that I could get my custody back with my daughter was doing all these different things that I could do to better myself. So my first step was to make the call to One Safe Place, because they kind of, what they do is they triage your situation. Have you experienced physical violence in your home? Have they threatened you? Have all these different things that they go through to establish what kind of level of help you need. And at that point, it's not that I needed shelter. I mean, I probably should have. That's probably something I should have looked for to get out of my situation sooner.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't. They set me up with a therapist, someone that I could talk to about what was going on, different kind of resources. I took some parenting classes. They helped, you know, 1 year they gave Penelope Christmas presents. They have a lot of different resources that people aren't aware of. They help with restraining order processes. They go to court with you if you need someone to go with you, if you have to go to court for your restraining order or file like divorce papers or whatever your situation is. They kind of do a lot of everything, and they're a great asset to the community. I wish more people took advantage of the opportunities that they present, especially for those who are in a situation where they may not financially be able to afford help or assistance. They're definitely a place I would refer anybody and everybody to, just to even talk to them, because it's nice talking to people that know what it's like or understand your situation. And that's what I did. They set me up with a therapist, and I went every week for about 2 years, and then I started going every other week, and then eventually once a month.
I know that's one of the reasons it took my mother so long to get help, is she didn't think because she was not in a place where she had finances, because my father was one that controlled them. It's part of a whole situation. And I'm glad you're talking about this, because I feel like a lot of people don't realize that there are resources available for you, especially if you're low income or in situations where you don't have access to your finances,
mm-hmm.
And stuff like that, that are very, because I'm from Texas, so like obviously we had something different, but there are a lot of resources out there for anyone. If you're listening and you are in a situation like that, there is help for you.
Yeah.
And know that there are people that will help you.
Absolutely.
And I have on my question list, why do victims sometimes return to, or stay with abusers? I know it's a little different for everyone, but we were curious your input on that.
So one of the main reasons why people stay is it's kind of scary getting out of the situation. What's going to happen next? Where am I going to live? What am I going to do for finances, food, lack of support? And it may not because that lack of support, maybe family or friends don't know what's going on. They aren't aware. The other thing is sometimes the abusers become more angry when the person leaves. And there's a statistic out there that once a person who's left an abusive relationship has left, the abuser is more than likely to come back. And it can be fatal after they leave. And I can't remember the number on it off the top of my head, but that's another reason why people don't leave. The getting out process is lengthy. I mean, it took me like from August to end of November, beginning of December.
Mm-hmm.
So that's like 4 or 5 months. It's not an easy process to do. There are steps you have to take. And I mean, but what it comes down to is it's scary, and it's scary to do alone. If you have kids, it's hard. What if, you know,
yeah.
they're a great father to their child, or they're a great mother to their child, but they're
yeah.
not healthy for me. And there's all kinds of factors that play into it. But, you know, it's important to be there for someone when they tell you that they're trying to get out of the situation, because without the help, then more than likely they're going to stay.
I know, like, especially in the South, it was like a thing of, like, shame to admit that something, like, because I'm from a very conservative Christian community, and it was a thing of, like, you're taught, like, oh, you marry this person or with them for life, and, like, admitting, like, that's not working out, or there's, like, a situation there, and that's really hard for a lot of people. It's a lot of shame, especially when you come from a religious circle. Do abusers show any potential warning signs, and what are those?
Yeah, absolutely. There is... there's red flags that are out there they were there. I just didn't pay attention to myself. Being jealous or possessive. If they control what you wear, if you say, hey, you can't wear makeup or you can't wear those pants out. Blaming the other person for something that happened wrong. Cooking rice in the wrong size pan. Not folding the laundry the right way. You know, those kinds of things escalate into more and more. I mean, at least that's how it was for me. It didn't start out physical. It was more emotional. And the controlling of things, like you said, the finances. I didn't know what bills were getting paid. All I know is I was paying my half to that person, and what got paid got paid. And then it started getting even more and building up to that. So, I mean, the red flags are what you want to look for. Sometimes alcohol is a factor if they have a drinking problem. So it's just know your red flags, pay attention to them, listen to your gut. If I would have listened to my stomach or gut, like, I probably wouldn't have been there to begin with.
I think
so
another,
it doesn't seem right.
Yeah. I think another thing, too, is listen to your friends. If you have more than one person coming to you and saying, you know, this just doesn't feel right, or we see you a lot less now, or I think that, I mean,
or you seem different.
You seem different. Mm-hmm. You know, I think sometimes we want to defend, you know, and so it can be hard when your circle comes to you and says things like, kind of noticing something. You know, people often get defensive, you know, about that. They want to defend the person that they're with. But I think you made an interesting point about it not necessarily starting off as physical. I think oftentimes that it's emotional. It's almost like a boot camp that abusers put their person through. You know, it's like tearing them down emotionally. You know, and so then, so now
they're trying to reprogram you.
Right, they're trying to reprogram you to do and behave the way you want them to. But now, if you've been emotionally and intellectually beaten down, you're that much easier for, I think, the physical then to come. You know, so I don't know. I mean, maybe everybody's experience is different, but I can see how the emotional piece would come in before, you know, the physical. So, Amber, you have since become an advocate for domestic violence victims. Can you talk to us a little bit about what you're doing as an advocate?
So what I've done locally is honestly just sharing my story and being upfront about it. That's the one thing is after I had originally came out about what was going on, I had people send me messages like, hey, I didn't know what this was going on, or I'm going through something similar, what do I do? And people don't speak up about it because it is something that can be viewed as being shameful or embarrassing, and that is honestly the first step, not even just with women, but with men as well. I mean, I have a couple friends that are in relationships that are probably most toxic thing I've seen between a man and a woman, and it's hard for them to leave too because they don't want to be demasculated. So it's just, that's what I've tried to do is talk about it, share my experiences, educate people on the resources that are available on a local level. So just even talking about it opens the doors for people and their other opportunities to get out because they're afraid, they're alone, they don't know what to do, and it's not, again, it's not talked about. So how is someone to know unless they've known someone who's gone through it?
We're going on our last commercial break, and we'll look back into that about where they can get help and all the advocacy you have done. Shout out to Felicia Tortorici at Old Fired Up, 1796 Churn Creek Road. They do pottery painting, life casting, board art, clay and fused glass workshops, and more. Master Intuitive Life Coach Dana Grant, World Financial Group Life and Health Insurance Agent with Max Millari. Boheme Salon and Spa at 961 Dana Drive, Suite 130. Relieves Trading, plant medicine that works naturally and affordably. Well known for their signature deep freeze pain relief. And to our one and only Sarah Marie Spectrum, unleash your dreams, own your imagination. SarahMarieSpectrum.com. And I heard she just relaunched her website.
Today!
Oh,
yay!
Snap. And that's, you heard it right here on Women of Vision Show first. We will be right back at KCNR 96.5 FM.
Mm-hmm. I like a bed that's really firm.
I need something a little softer.
Rest easy. With the new Sleep Number 360 Smart Bed, you can both adjust your comfort with your sleep number setting.
Will it help with her snoring?
I snore.
Does Rudolph have a red nose?
Yes, it can be gently raised on either side to help relieve snoring.
So you can really promise better sleep.
Not promise.
Prove.
Proven quality sleep is life-changing sleep. And now, during the Ultimate Sleep Number event, save 50% on the Sleep Number 360 Limited Edition Smart Bed, only for a limited time. To learn more, go to sleepnumber.com.
Slow down. Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt. My chiropractic and nutrition practice in downtown Reading has been helping people feel better for over 20 years. We pride ourselves in really listening to our patients and then tailoring a program of nutrition, chiropractic care, massage, and exercise that's just right for you. The results can be dramatic. Call 244-7873. That's 244-7873. Thank you.
Lung Affair is a nonprofit organization that raises public awareness about lung cancer as well as implementing smoking cessation programs within the community. The Lung Affair was started and is supported by Pace Cancer Center in 2008. Money generated through this program is then allocated for smoking cessation and lung cancer awareness programs in Shasta County, including education programs for elementary, middle, and high schools. We also create public service advertisements about the dangers of smoking and have them placed at numerous area bus stops with wide visibility, as well as on the sides of robber buses. Due to the current COVID-19 pandemic, our event this year will be held as an online raffle posted on the Pace Cancer Center Facebook page. There will be 3 gift baskets available for raffle, and tickets will be available at the Pace Cancer Center. In addition, you can also donate to this fundraising event. Tickets are now available and will be available till 4 p.m. on Wednesday, November 24th, and the raffle will be drawn on Monday, November 30th. Help us help our community. Pace Cancer Center and the Lung Affair.
Hey guys, I'm Bob the Drop. Welcome to my podcast. Do you like water? If you do, you're going to love me. I'm pure and simple. I'm talking refreshing. Yeah. Spent 500 years in a glacier. The boy was that cold. I never was and never will be tap water. Nope. Bottled at the source, the base of Mount Shasta. Yep, pure and simple. Naturally the best. You can try me by calling 1-800-922-6227. Mount Shasta Spring Water.
From the Pacific Justice Institute, this is The Legal Edge.
Pacific Justice Institute is defending Coles Valley Church in Umpqua, Oregon. The rural church sought permission from Douglas County to convert just one room in its building into a parsonage. A neighboring vineyard owner appealed to the Oregon's Land Use Board of Appeals, which overturned the county's initial ruling.
Learn more about our ministry and get exclusive email updates by registering for The Legal Insider at pji.org.
Hi, everybody. We are back. And this is our last 15 minutes here, KCNR, Women of Vision Show. We have been chatting with Amber Ore about mental health and domestic violence. Amber, thank you so much for coming on. We're so lucky because there has been no interruption, or did I just jinx us?
Don't jinx us, Marie. I was like, I'm not going to say it because the moment we say it, yeah, it's going
to
happen.
I know.
You're not allowed to say the Q word. That's like a thing.
Yeah. Yay, it's working out so good. But I have so many more questions, and I just want to get through them before, because this last 15 just, it's like,
gone in the wind,
yes,
real fast.
It's crazy. So do you think it's possible for abusers to change? I mean, is that, have you seen that happen?
I personally haven't seen it happen. I think the huge part in seeing that happen is taking accountability for actions that are done and things that have been said. But it's a learned behavior, so there has to be behavioral modifications that have to be made for it to be done. It's an ongoing process, so it's not like something they can, I mean, absolutely anybody can wake up and say, I want to be different, I want to choose to be different and do different. But it's a process of steps, just like it's a process to get out of a relationship like that. It's a process to kind of reinvent yourself and, you know, change how you were previously. I mean, those are learned habits and behaviors, and you have to address the issues on why you react the way that you do, whether it's something from your childhood or something you've learned from watching whatever you've been exposed to in your life. So it's not as simple as I'm just going to wake up and change.
It's sad, but I don't I don't know anyone personally either that has changed.
I feel like, too, like, especially in my situation with my parental unit, it's something that they kind of experienced as well, the one that was the abuser. Yeah. So I feel like, too, part of it, it's generational. I know it's, like, an actual choice, though. We can't just, like, blame everything on, like, the other person.
Yeah.
But mm-hmm. I think, too, a lot of, especially when things happen to them with kids, like...
They model what they've seen.
Yeah, and I think that did not help the start of that. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's unfortunate.
I know that said, I think you're right, Sarah. I think sometimes abusers are often
they
victims.
Were abused as well. Yeah, yeah. Often victims, I guess.
They were
say,
victims themselves. Yeah.
And they never
started
healing.
Does not
make
their actions right, but I'm just saying, like,
it doesn't excuse,
something I've noticed
but it
at least.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And earlier you mentioned too about men. I know that was one of the questions that you know some men that's been victim of domestic violence as well.
Mm-hmm. So absolutely. I mean, it doesn't really discriminate against gender. It doesn't discriminate against sexuality. Mm-hmm. Whether you're gay, straight, trans, whatever you identify as. I mean, it's not going to just pick and choose. It doesn't decide that I'm going to affects this race only or this gender only, and it really has no qualms about who they're going to decide to affect. It's just, it's one of those things, unfortunately, that affects everyone, whether or not everyone has the same resources. It's a little bit different. Mm-hmm. Like, they have a women's shelter. Do they have a men's shelter locally?
I know, right?
And it's one of those things that doesn't just pick and choose.
Yeah, especially with, like, the whole parental unit. I mean, there could be multiple children in the household, boys and girls. And I feel like the boys take it the toughest, too.
Oh, absolutely. They take it the hardest, especially if it's with that male-figure dynamic. And the boys in the house tend to take on that male role in the household, and it's not an easy thing to try and take on.
Yeah,
especially as a larger family unit.
And that was going to be my next question, was like the LGBTQ community, they experience violence. Have you seen anything like that in your experience?
Not in my experience, but in the research that I've done over time, it tends to be a little bit different. It's a lot more higher. Mm. Different in a sense of, like, an example would be outing somebody's sexuality. Before they were able to tell their friends or family, that's a form of abuse that can take place. The percentage rates are, like, a lot higher. Lesbians and bisexuals and gay men have about maybe 10 to 15, maybe even 20% higher chance of being in a domestic violence relationship versus heterosexual people. So it's, unfortunately, they don't have a lot of the same resources that are presented to a straight man or a straight woman either, because it's a unique situation.
Yeah.
So unfortunately, it's just something that we have to educate ourselves more on.
And how does the community. Sorry, I feel like I keep cutting you off. I'm so sorry. How does the economy or economic status affect domestic violence?
So like we've talked about, finances, obviously, with the economy are a huge portion of it. Lack of housing, medical costs if you have to go to a doctor. If your spouse is controlling your finances, that obviously limits your funds. Missing work can lead to unemployment. But fortunately, there are, if you are a victim, there are, California has resources. They're like victim witness that can help compensate you for finances lost or medical care that need to be done, even therapy. So there are resources out there that will help through that process.
And I feel like, especially in 2020, it's really important to find those resources. I know there's a lot of, like, people worried about statistics and stuff right now, especially with lockdowns and people that, mm-hmm. like me, like, being able to get out and go to, like, church, for example, is a way to escape a situation and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And now people are not able to even get out, and people are stuck with their abuses indoors some places. And yeah, definitely, like, if you're an outsider, to be watching and listening for what you can to see if you can help. But how are ways we can help if we are someone that's not familiar with that situation or we are an outsider?
So, like I've said before, talking about it, supporting your friends or family if you feel like someone's going through it, if you suspect someone, be there to listen, recognize that it's not always physical, be aware of the signs. help your friend or family member come up with an exit plan. You can volunteer and donate. Like, once they've placed, especially with COVID, it's harder for them to get the things that they need. Mm-hmm. So by volunteering your time or donating food, blankets, clothes, that makes a huge difference. And if you know someone's in immediate danger, don't hesitate to call your law enforcement, mm-hmm. Because that was one of the other steps that should be taken, because they have other resources for you as well. And in California, if there is a domestic violence crime that's been committed, the person who's at fault, you don't get a choice on whether or not it gets persecuted or not. So that's a benefit of, you know, calling police. I mean, in my situation, it took me about 2-3 times of calling the police before I actually followed through with a step. Mm-hmm. But eventually you get to that point. So, and again, know your signals. Know, oh, you're right, you're not hanging out with your friends as much, or you're not talking to your family as much. Why aren't you wearing the makeup that you used to love to wear? Or why aren't you going out for guys that I like you used to? So all of those things are something that other people can pay attention to kind of help and guide.
For sure. And something I wanted to go back and add to you saying about calling, especially like with coronavirus right now, like a lot of people, like I live far away from my family, for example, or people aren't able to travel. If you are suspecting that, you are allowed to call out-of-state police departments for people that live in those states. Just make sure you call their local police department.
And know their address, name, all the information.
Even if you live out-of-state, you are still able to do that. So I don't want you guys to feel like if you're far away from a person, you are worried about, that you can't call their place still.
Yep. So in your experience, so what's how is the outlook right now? We have less than 4 minutes, but if people were wanting to reach out to you and just get in touch with you and share their story and want to know more about your story and how how you've healed and took care of your daughter and all that good stuff.
I'm happy to share my story. I'm happy to help provide information or help get resources. Absolutely, I'm open to that. I will always be an advocate for somebody that's going through those struggles. I have gotten myself in a place where I know my boundaries, and I know the telltale signs of when I should hold harder, stronger boundaries. I think that's the key part when you are helping somebody, is know your boundaries and limits. But if anybody wants to reach out to me, they can reach out to me on Facebook or Instagram. I'm definitely someone who can help walk through the process. So,
what's your Instagram name?
It's Amber. Pretty basic.
I love it so much.
Awesome.
Oh, hi. It's Amber. I like it.
Well, thank you so much, Amber. We really appreciate your time. And this was a lot, but...
Yeah. But important.
I'm glad we talked about it.
It was. It's an important topic to talk about. It's not the most fun, but it's certainly an important thing.
It's almost like we got to loop back into it every quarter or something.
Yeah.
You know,
like,
don't forget, somebody's out there.
Yeah.
And somebody is out there for you.
Yes.
And I guarantee someone you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Absolutely. Someone's listening right now that's going through it.
That's right.
Tomorrow might be the day we're like, I'm done.
Yeah.
So.
Well, thank you, Amber.
Thank you, Amber.
Thank you
so much.
Have a great night.
You too.
Thank you.
Sarah, did you say you had promotion?
Well, I wanted to go over, because I know we have a few pop-up events. Women of Vision has one, and then Lisi has a part of another one. So for your last few minutes, we would just quickly go over them.
Yeah.
So go over yours
first.
Yeah. Okay. We'll go over ours.
Friday, okay. It turns out.
So I'm participating in a holiday pop-up. It's going to be held on Friday between 4 p.m. and 8 p.m. And we have 7 local vendors. I'm going to just share them with you really quickly. We have Letterbox Art Boutique. That's me. I make monograms Instagram letters using artificial and real succulents. We have Hello Luna. She makes beautiful macrame pieces against the grain, earrings, handcrafted by the Tonys. They make these beautiful woodworking pieces. Milk House Cookies will be there, Beauties and Brows by Nikki, and then, of course, Glam Pinup. So, again, on 1361 East Cypress Avenue between 4 and 8 p.m., we are serving champagne. We're having gifts and giveaways, raffles. It's going to be a ton of fun, and we are requesting that everyone wears masks.
Mm-hmm.
So there's that. Thank you for my shameless plug.
And, you can find Women of Vision on Instagram and on our website about our Small Business Saturday on November 28th, 12 to 5 p.m. And remember, prizes. You get rewarded for shopping, you guys.
Why wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Why wouldn't you want to shop local and small?
Yes.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you, everybody. Women of Vision here at KC.